Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Accountability Act of 1996, or HIPAA, is a federal law that required the creation of national standards to protect sensitive patient health information from being disclosed without the patient's consent or knowledge. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services issued the HIPAA privacy rule to implement the requirements of HIPAA. The HIPAA security rule protects a subset of information covered by the privacy rule, unquote. Now, during this program, we're going to talk about whether we are being told the truth about HIPAA, and also we're going to take a quick look at the recent settlement that forced the FDA to remove anti-ivermectin posts on their website and social media. But big question is anyone going to be held accountable? My guest today is Twyla Brace. She's president and co-founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Thanks, Twyla, for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much, Diane.
Now, you guys, CCHF has, I guess, the past several years declared April the Truth About HIPAA Month. I thought HIPAA was all about privacy. That's what Americans are being told. So is that not the truth?
That is not the truth. Unless you want to say that it's all about getting rid of privacy, in which case it is about privacy. It's just us about getting rid of it, not protecting it.
Wow.
So, yes, the HIPAA rule, which became effective in April of 2003, provide what we consider it a permissive data sharing rule. It provides all of these different ways that your data can be shared without your consent. And that is usually a surprise to the American people when they figure that out.
Usually a surprise, but yeah, I'd hope that everyone. Yeah, I watched the video that you were at the Minnesota State Fair, I think in 2019. I can't remember what year it was, that you were at the Minnesota State Fair asking people about HIPAA. And when they found out the truth, they were floored as to what HIPAA really is, which is not protecting their privacy, but actually making what they thought private information, making it available to a multitude of agencies. So, you know, your website is just full of tons and tons of information about the misinformation on HIPAA. And I pulled out a couple myths. One is that HIPAA protects your medical privacy. True or false? And how many agencies or entities can access that supposed private information?
So, yes, HIPAA is a myth. HIPAA, as we know it, is a myth. So the whole idea of it being privacy at all is a myth. But then the number of agencies that can have access, it's not just agencies, it's entities, it's companies, it's individuals. So when HHS put out a rule in 2010, they listed all of these entities that are involved under HIPAA, and there are 2.2 million entities that can have access to your information without your consent if those who hold your data choose to share it. And that's an important caveat, right? Because there are, you know, clinics and hospitals and x-ray facilities and laboratories and other facilities that you expect to have your health information. You went there, you were a patient there, you said things there, you got treatments there. You know, you expect them to have all that data. Mm-hmm. But under HIPAA, they can share it without your consent if they want to. They don't have to, but just if they want to. So those 2.2 million entities are not only those who you expect to have your data, but also 1.5 million business associates who might have a contract with your clinic or your hospital or your lab. It could be a law firm. It could be a medical school. It could be an analytics company. It could be about anybody with whom your data could be shared by your clinic, your hospital, et cetera, all without your consent. And HIPAA permits that. It only requires a business associate agreement to hold the data secure. So this is one thing about HIPAA that I like to tell people is that HIPAA is not about privacy. It's about security of the data. So they are allowing it to be shared hither and yon, but then telling anybody who gets it that they should hold it secure and not let anybody else get it. So if you're a patient listening to me now, or just an American who has medical records, you're thinking, well, okay, that's just kind of interesting. So they're going to allow it to be shared hither and yon, that they're going to violate my privacy, but they're then going to say amongst all of these people, they should then protect it.
Wow.
But you know, from the get-go, they aren't protecting it the way the patient thinks it should be protected,
exactly.
Which is just not to share it without their consent.
Do you know if rest homes because I'm thinking of a situation like someone had a hip replacement, and all of a sudden they're getting mailings from an assisted living facility that's over near the town from this individual. But he had recently had a hip replacement. Now all of a sudden he's getting information about this assisted living facility. Are they also on the, because they possibly have gotten information, his private information from a healthcare provider? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, so the very interesting thing about HIPAA is it has this marketing prohibition. And so the hospital cannot give the patient's data to any company. Like, let's just move from the hip situation here to a baby. So a mom comes in, has a baby, and then suddenly she's getting all of these advertisements for, you know, diapers, mm-hmm. and, you know, bottles and whatever, right?
Car seats and whatever,
mm-hmm. Right. And the thing is that the hospital is allowed to send out those notices and advertisements on behalf of a company. So if the diaper company wants to have all of the new moms get an advertisement and a coupon about getting diapers for their brand new baby, they would then pay the hospital. The hospital would use the list of all the new moms, and then the hospital would send out this notice or this coupon. So the marketing is still happening. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's not direct from the company to the patient.
So apparently that they purchased the mailing list from someplace else. It wasn't information that they necessarily got from the healthcare provider. Or just a mailing list that they purchased, it sounds like.
They cannot. Well, if you say purchase, what you mean is you paid the hospital. You do not actually get a copy of the list. You never see the patient's name.
Okay.
The diaper company would never see the patient's name, but the hospital would say, we've got this many names on the list. We'll send out material for you. It'll cost you this much.
Okay, but
and then the company pays the hospital. The hospital sends it out to the hospital's list, but the company never gets the list.
Okay, so the assisted living facility that's sending out information about their facility to the recent hip replacement individual sounds like they purchased the names, a mailing list with names from another entity, not directly from the healthcare provider.
And that's probably correct.
Okay, I was just curious about that. So here's another myth. HIPAA actually is the top law of the land when it comes to patient privacy. Is that true or false?
That's a very great myth to talk about. So I like to remind people that we have a constitution in this land, and it limits the federal government. As a matter of fact, the federal government should not have ever started Medicare because it doesn't belong in healthcare. So it's limited. It has certain subscribed or
certain
boundaries.
Certain powers listed.
Yeah, and it can't go outside of them,
supposedly,
right? But
yeah.
It goes outside of them all the
exactly.
time. So it imposed HIPAA across the country on all of these healthcare facilities and all these doctors and clinics, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is that, number one, it shouldn't be able to do that. It shouldn't have done that. States should be able to stand up and say, you can't do that. But then number two, the other thing is that HIPAA itself allows a state to write and pass into law a stronger state law, a real state privacy law, mm-hmm. and then that state privacy law would rule the day. And so all the doctors, hospitals, and clinics, et cetera, would all have to abide by the state privacy law and could ignore HIPAA unless there were parts of the state law that didn't touch the provisions of HIPAA.
Yeah.
But so, yes, states could have their own privacy laws and actually protect themselves from HIPAA if legislators knew that HIPAA doesn't actually protect privacy, but most legislators don't know.
Right, yeah. I actually went to the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services website, and this is what it says. Quote, the Department of Human Services provides and pays for many types of health and social services We also determine persons' eligibility to receive those services. When we do these things, we collect personal and health information about you and or your family. The information we collect about you and or your family is private. We call this information, quote, protected health information, unquote. Then it goes on to say that the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services does not use or disclose protected health information unless permitted or required by law. DHS must follow new laws protecting the privacy of your protected health information. These new laws are known as the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act privacy rules. So we are not a, when it comes to Pennsylvania, our medical privacy is not protected.
That's no, because they, yeah. See, they just follow the myth, right? They say that we protect your privacy, we have to follow these laws, and then they mention HIPAA, and then you know, if you're listening to this program, as your listeners are, then you realize that, well, HIPAA doesn't protect your privacy at all.
Yeah, that's exactly what that said. And people don't, you know, when this form is stuck under your nose at a doctor's or whatever, you know, you're told to sign it. How many people read that? And if they were to actually read that HIPAA statement, what would they find out? That they're not
protected?
Well,
if they read it.
Yeah.
Yes, if they read the Notice of Privacy Practices, they would see that it is actually a Notice of Disclosure Practices. All the different ways that they, the clinic, the hospital, can share the patient's information without the patient's consent.
If a patient were to ask their medical provider who they've shared that information with, does the medical provider have to share that information with the patient? Whose medical information has been, you know, spread all over the place? Did the doctor have to say, yes, we've shared this information, your information with da-da-da, you know, these different...
Unless there is a state law that requires it, most of the information that is shared under HIPAA does not require an accounting of disclosures. As a matter of fact, there's a term in HIPAA called healthcare operations for which data can be shared without patient consent. Often, if there is a consent form at the doctor's office, sometimes it will actually say, we share your data for healthcare operations, or we share your data for business operations. And that is just a huge amount of data that can be shared. Now, because that the definition of healthcare operations is 400 words long, and it's a list of about 65 clinical, non-clinical business activities for which data can be shared. So it's enormous.
So the definition is over 400 words long. Is that what you said?
It's just under. It's about two. It's about two words under 400.
Oh, wow. That's
bad. It's like 398.
It would be really bad if it was 400. Yeah. Oh, my
yeah.
goodness. So this HIPAA has been in effect. Actually, it says in April, as you mentioned earlier, in April 2003, the HIPAA privacy rules went into effect. Have we seen any, if any, have we seen any harms from that implementation of the HIPAA Privacy Act? Have there been any harms that we've seen in these last 20 years?
I think it depends on how you define harm.
It's a definition of 398 words long.
I know.
I'm joking. Yeah.
Harm could be the fact that the patient-doctor encounter in the exam room is no longer confidential. That could be one type of harm. Another type could be the fact that there's so many outsiders now that have access to your data. They're probably profiling you. They've building profiles on you and you don't even know it. That is harm because this is actually your private life, your property, the private information about you that you gave to somebody is now somebody else's property. Then there are things that might be disclosed, like, did you take the COVID shot? Are you giving your children vaccinations at the government scheduled times, right? There are those sorts of things that are revealed about you to people who you do not know they are being revealed to. There are treatments that you might not have gotten or even been offered because of whatever your profile says or whatever age you are or, you know,
right.
Whatever is their criteria.
Yeah, one thing that jumped out at me, because I have the copy, you actually have 20 HIPAA harms. And one of the things that jumped out at me is that, there's several things. But you mentioned that, but it says that HIPAA permits your health records, tests, diagnoses, and doctor's notes to be shared between physicians and hospitals without your knowledge, making it nearly impossible to get an unbiased second opinion. I mean, you know, I've always heard you should get a second opinion, but with all this sharing of data, you would go, you know, could very well go to a doctor that already has all this data on you, and he probably already, you know, may very well have an already predetermined diagnosis from the information he already has before he even sees you as a patient. You know,
that's correct.
That's mind-boggling. Another one that you have here is that hospitals can contact and share patient information with organ procurement companies without the consent of you or your dying loved one. And then companies can review medical records and come to your hospital room without warning to seek organ donations, unless it's a state law that prohibits such. I mean, this is just, it's mind-boggling as to the lack of privacy when it comes to our medical history, our medical records. And Americans don't know it. The majority of Americans don't know anything about this.
No. Yeah, so I wrote the book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records, and section 4 of the book is all about HIPAA. So Americans don't understand HIPAA for what it really is, which is a permissive data disclosure rule, allowing all your data to be shared hither and yon. And they don't understand the electronic health record for what it is, which is a command and control system in the exam room and at the hospital bedside, which limits what is available to you as a patient and also gathers all of this data, building your profile on and on and on. And so one of the things that we do is ask people not to complete the questionnaires in the doctor's office unless you see something that is specific to why you are there that day. Mm-hmm. Don't fill in your whole family history. Don't tell them if you have guns. Don't tell them about your diet. Don't tell them all of this, because you're actually being exploited. It's like the hospital system and the healthcare system has been, you know, turned on its head, and both doctors and patients are being exploited for the purposes of others. And one of the big exploitation avenues is all this gathering of private data on the patient for the purposes of others, which can be to, you know, gain money from it, but also to build profiles that allow them to ration your care, which is another way of gaining money from it if you don't want to pay for something, right?
Right. Now, do you think most doctors in hospital or, let's say, doctor's office staff, do you think they understand what HIPAA really is?
I don't think they understand what HIPAA is. I do know that what they have is attorneys who come and tell them they have to get you to sign the Notice of Privacy Practices Acknowledgement Statement, or they might be fined under HIPAA. And so there's a lot of pressure on patients to sign this, even though by law, and even HHS on their own website say that by law, you are not required to sign that form. And so often that's, it's no longer a form. It's just embedded in the consent form. And it says something like, I have read, or I understand, or I have received the Notice of Privacy Practices. And we ask patients to simply cross that out. You don't even have to put your initials. You don't have to date it. Just cross it out. And we have special little cards that people can take with them to the doctor's office that have the exact words from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services website or web page on the Notice of Privacy Practices, telling them they do not have to sign this. And as a matter of fact, it says that the doctor, the provider, the clinic, the hospital, they are the ones that have to sign something if you refuse to sign it, because you are allowed to refuse to sign it.
Now, can they refuse medical care if you do not sign the HIPAA form?
No, although some of them have done it because they are clueless, which is why we now have this new little card that has the exact words from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that includes their own responsibility. And it could be argued that it would be a HIPAA violation to force you to sign this statement when HHS itself says that you do not have to sign it.
And that's on your website, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
CCHfreedom.org. Yeah. Okay, let's, you know, HIPAA's terrible. So I encourage folks to go to CCHfreedom.org, and there's tons and tons of information on HIPAA, the dangers. There's the 20 HIPAA harms, and there's just tons of stuff. So let's just switch gears real quick and talk about the recent settlement where the FDA was required to remove, you know, during COVID, there was all this anti-ivermectin stuff, you know, it's horse medicine, and it's going to kill you if you take it, blah, blah, blah. And the FDA had their website as well as their social media full of misinformation and disinformation, I'll use their terminology again that they used against all of us. And they were forced to, part of this settlement, they were forced to remove that information. But is anyone with the FDA or is Tony Fauci going to be held accountable for any of that misinformation and disinformation that was perpetuated, specifically dealing with ivermectin, since that's what the settlement was about? Is anyone going to be held accountable?
So I'll answer that by saying not yet. So hopefully in time, the people who are responsible will be held accountable. But right now, that particular lawsuit, it was a win. It just wasn't as much of a win as we would have loved it to have been, because it would have went into discovery, and it's hard to say how long the trial would have gone. And so the FDA just decided to settle. And so they agreed to take the anti-ivermectin documents and statements off of their social media and off of their website. You know, but from our opinion, we're not sure that that's sufficient to stop the boards of medical practice from going after the doctors that do ivermectin. As a matter of fact, one of the doctors who was one of the plaintiffs in that lawsuit, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, is on her Twitter site. She has recently recorded, or she has published a recording of a conversation she had with a pharmacist who was refusing to dispense a medication that was being used for off-label purposes unless Dr. Bowden told her the rationale for giving that medication.
Since when is pharmacists
telling the doctor you can't do it. Oh, I'm going to withhold the medication. Yeah.
Wow. Talking about patients being put last and doctors who speak the truth being put last and being basically penalized. Wow.
Right.
That's just terrible. So hopefully in the future, folks who caused COVID to be much worse than it would have been in the long run, I believe. Hopefully they will be held accountable.
Right. Hopefully. In time, we can hope.
Yes, yep. Yes. So how can folks contact you? Give us your website again.
They can go to cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And, of course, they can give us a call at 651-646-8935.
Okay, fantastic. I appreciate
it. And Twitter, of course.
Yeah, Twitter.
Thank you.
You mean X, formerly Twitter. Yes. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You take care.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.